This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And how hot in the streets is Sharp Money right now? Well, they've sent the fire department to the D to come after us as we say hi. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, where you can hear very peaceful, nothing going on. But as I say hi to the boys, of course, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson at the D, downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street, Bar Canada. And as you can hear and as you can see, we've got a fire drill going on with the boys. So what we're going to do is we're going to make the best of it. What's up, Amal?
I'm doing good. By the way, I like your intro. You're absolutely right. We'll be able to navigate it. This should probably be more interesting and entertaining than the Thursday night game tonight.
This is going to be, yeah. You know what? Maybe they're testing something for Al Michaels tonight. They're going to have an alarm going off in the booth to keep your boy awake. I mean, he's in his 80s. He already can't get up for a big matchup, whether it's Monster Energy, an alarm, Red Bull, 5-hour energy, maca latte, whatever it is. Al Michaels has got a doozy tonight. Carolina at Chicago. We told you. Now, yesterday we told you, and I'll monologue a little bit here while we try to get that settled over there. But we tried to tell you yesterday, Matt Eberflus had a press conference. And if you haven't seen it, it's not necessarily encouraging if you're looking for Matt Eberflus to be the leader of your organization. Because he was simply asked, will Justin Fields be your quarterback tomorrow night against the Panthers? And he said, well, right now it doesn't look good. He's not going to be the quarterback tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to have to figure it out. Wait, what, Matt? What exactly are you talking about? So obviously they looked into it, and Fields, who's been out for a while, doesn't look like he's going to be playing tonight. However, Amal, Dustin Sweetelson, as we say hi to the big guy, we were actually sitting here yesterday. It dropped the 3, pretty much blanketed across the board. Now we've ticked up to 3.5. I ask you both this question. And I understand the Panthers are trifling. And again, you could see a low total of 38. Or there's a reason for a low total of 38. Unders this year in prime time, Amal, 22-7 to the under. They're hitting at a 75% clip. So good reason, two bad offenses. But on what planet, again, on what planet should the Bears be laying not just 3, that key number, but jump over the 3 of 3.5? And I know the Panthers are bad. We can get into their defense is a little bit better than you'd expect, but why are the Bears laying that hook?
I would agree with you completely. It's funny, Patrick. I've been colder than liquid nitrogen since Monday. The good thing is on all the plays that I've given out, there hasn't been a chance to win, so you haven't wasted time like the Spurs last night. It was over 2 minutes into the game. But with that being said, I'm going to be on Carolina tonight. I'm with you. 3.5 is too high of a number. I think Carolina overall is probably a little bit better. Now you've got two rookie quarterbacks making appearances here in Tyler Badgen and, of course, Bryce Young. I just like this opportunity with Carolina here catching 3.5. Number seems a little bit too high. The Bears have not shown much. They fight for about 2.5, 3 quarters. It's not that Carolina's been much better, but I think an opportunity here with a team like Carolina and Bryce Young, good chance for them to get on track here before they have a little bit of a extended layoff before they get into the next week matchup.
Well, if you're colder than liquid nitrogen, I ask you, why are they sending the fire department?
My man Sweetelson's been on fire.
Nope.
Why have they sent the fire department if we're cold? I don't agree with you. I think you've been hot. Now, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, as the alarms. You know what? Maybe they're coming to arrest our director, Liz Foster, who's done an amazing job for us since the inception of Sharp Money. This is actually her last show, so maybe they're coming to arrest her and keep her around. We're sad to see her go. But we say hi to the big guy. That hook on the 3 jumped back up today, Dustin Sweetelson.
I think they're bringing the jaws of life for me based on my picks last night as well. It was not a fun night. Last night I retired from betting college basketball until March. I have to announce that today I'm also unretiring for one special night tonight because there's a play I love. We'll get to it later. But on your point about the 3.5, I'm not betting the side. However, you have to take the 3.5 and the points with the Panthers on the road. Both of these defenses stink. They cannot stop the run. Running backs are feasting all over them. That's a little tease for some props I'm going to have later on in the program. But the 3.5 makes sense in an ugly, weird game. And honestly, maybe the over could even make sense. I know the unders have been hitting at a crazy clip, like you mentioned, on these primetime games. But this is such a weird, ugly matchup that there's a chance that we could see some crazy stuff on the field.
Okay, the big guy battling through the fire department, running through the set there. Brett Coleman's going to join us coming up in about 25 minutes. Josh Applebaum, and in case you didn't notice, that was shtick. He said he was going to retire until March, but he's got to play today. My goodness. Brandon Anderson, maybe the fire department will cool him off after that one. Brendan White's going to join us from the trading room floor there at DraftKings as well. So plenty to do. Oh! We've got, of course, the segment you wait for every single week. We've got the dog pound coming up, and I was taking a look at the standings. I mean, again, it's going to be hard for you guys to catch up when I keep sweeping the board, but I believe Amal had a good week last week as well. Dustin, you got a crooked look on your face. Maybe I'll have a fireman smack it off of you. Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know what standings you're looking at there,
exactly.
Buddy.
Let me see. Dustin.
Jets and Giants.
Okay, Dustin, congratulations. You had a couple of hits last week as well. Now you're one behind me as far as last week. You can catch up to me today. Because I took a look at the board, especially when I was hitting up my big dog, and my eyeballs fell out of my skull when I saw the number that popped up for the big dog. So we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. All kidding aside, though, as far as the game tonight, aesthetically, it's not going to be overly pleasing. As Amal mentioned, you got a rookie in Bryce Young. You've got a rookie in Tyson Bagent. Bryce Young, 2 pick-sixes last week. Bagent, 3 picks last week, of course, as well. Khalil Herbert looks like he's going to miss another one for the Bears. I don't know if you two have been focusing on the total at all, but there's really, unless you're betting the under, there would be no way to go. I gave you the numbers, 75% hit to the under in prime time. I don't think there's going to be much expectations for these offenses, Amal, on a short week.
I think you bring up a great point. The inconsistency with Bryce Young last week, I think it'll cause him to be a little bit gun-shy. Tyson Bagent, he's played well out of the block, but he's got 6 interceptions. The only thing that concerns me of this total getting over, if we wind up with short fields or pick sixes coming up in this game. Other than that, Patrick, I think you're absolutely right. You're looking at on 38 points right now, already 6 drives. That includes 1 field goal and 5 touchdowns. Are we really going to see a lot more success in a short week with young, inexperienced quarterbacks? I think it gives even a team like the Bears defensively an advantage here. So I'm with you on this one. I think the 38 is a play you want to make. Otherwise, you stay away from this one. It's hard to go over on this game.
I do have a pass prop as far as Bryce Young. And as far as attempts coming up, because the Bears, while they do stop the run, they're actually a top 3 unit stopping the run. They are putrid against the pass. So I think a lot of this is going to be on Bryce Young's shoulders tonight as far as the offensive scheme. And the Panthers' defense, actually, you know, if you dig a little bit deeper, I think, Amal, you mentioned it earlier in the year. I mean, the personnel is not terrible. And the defense actually played well against the Colts. The number's a little skewed because of the 2 pick-sixes. Just 3.5 yards per play for the Colts against this Panthers' defense. 2.6 as far as yards per carry. You take a look, Jonathan Taylor on 18 carries had just 47 yards. And Pierce the week before, big guy, just 46 yards on the ground. So this Panthers defense doing a good job, whereas the record doesn't necessarily reflect.
Sure, sure. I think we're going to get a lot of runs. The issue for the total for me tonight would be if they start breaking off a few big ones and taking some to the house, because I could see with the total being so low and despite both run games needing to be involved, there could be some potential for some big plays tonight.
You know what's interesting?
Are you okay?
No, because you just... All right, here's the truth. Here's the truth. It has nothing to do with this fire alarm. The truth is, I am all over Deonte Foreman tonight, props, and I didn't want to just totally disagree with you there.
No, you can disagree tonight. You could disagree. I didn't know if you were being arrested during that portion of the show. I got to tell you both. I think you're doing an amazing job.
Oh, God.
Because that part that just went off does come through. I can hear it in Hermosa Beach. So the idea that you guys are remaining cool, I give you both credit.
I think we just proved that I am not remaining cool.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm in a state of shock because I just saw a stat to me that's glaring in this matchup. The Bears are seventh in the National Football League on third down percentage conversion. Are you kidding me? Are we talking about only two games? Where's this number from? What Bears teams are converting on third down? It's just shocking to me. But, Patrick, with everything that you said, you look at Carolina defensively, still a top five defense against the pass. I think the Panthers here have an opportunity plus 3.5. And I'll tell you, if you're on this game, you have to take a look at the Panthers at plus 160 on the money line. I think this is about as good of a spot for a dog. When we get into the dogs, this was one I considered. But I took a college dog that was in that medium-sized dog for us. But this is one I looked at and thought, plus 160 is a pretty good number here.
Okay. All right, boys, yeoman's job by the two of you, and I totally agree with you. Plus 160, yesterday three, up to 3.5 on the side as far as the Bears, 38 on the total. Just a reminder, DraftKings opened this total at 40.5, so we've been kind of steadily coming down. DraftKings opened the Bears 2 on Sunday, got bet all the way up to 4, down to 3 yesterday, now sitting 3.5. So if you like the Bears, yesterday was the time to pounce on that 3. And if you like the Panthers, you know, grabbing that hook is not a bad option right now. And then also we mentioned the plus 160, Amal likes the spot for the Carolina Panthers tonight. Both teams on a short week. Again, Eberflus, if you haven't seen the presser from yesterday, it looks like a guy. Again, you had a defensive coordinator fired by the Bears because of some shady ongoings. You just recently had, I think it was the running backs coach, boys, that was let go because of an HR infraction. So organizationally, it's got a Michigan vibe to it right now in Illinois. Sorry, I had to take a shot at your boy Harbaugh. We come back. Let's jump into the dog pound. Why not? Let's get to it early.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, a little break from the dog pound to bring in our buddy Brett Coleman here on Sharp Money. But quickly, want to let you know, $120 gets you everything we offer at VSiN. Become a VSiN Pro. Daily best bets. You get, of course, the VSiN leaderboard, ROI, tail who's hot, fade who's not, betting splits, everything we do through May 1st. So it takes you through March Madness for $120. VSiN.com/subscribe. And yes, those asking, they did move Gillette to Frankfurt, Germany. I'm Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. We're going to bring in a monster when it comes to NFL content, Brett Coleman. The Film Room on YouTube is a must if you like the NFL. Also, you can check out the podcast, which is called the Bootleg Football Podcast, at Brett Coleman on Twitter. And a team that's been confounding. You've got an episode coming up. Hi, Brett. Thank you. You've got an episode coming up on the Buffalo Bills. I guess it just feels stale because they've had so much success over the past, 5 years. But you've got a video in the film room coming out about why this team should be, based on the metrics, better.
They absolutely should be. And I think that's, especially when people are trying to bet on the Bills, they're trying to figure out what's going wrong, right? Because they're looking at, metrics like EPA per play, which show like how healthy an offense is. They're second in that. They're third in play success rate. They're fifth in terms of offensive points scored. They're sixth in terms of touchdown drive percentage. And yet over the last 5 weeks, they're 18th in points per game. They've lost 3 out of 5. And they have a negative point differential. So people are like, what's going on here? And so I did a lot of work on it, and I came up with a few different issues. The main one is that they're not getting field goals anymore. They're either turning the ball over or they're stalling out right on the edge of field goal range. And so they went from, in the first 4 weeks of the season, including that Jets game that was a terrible game, but in the first 4 weeks of the season, they had the highest percentage of their drives resulting in scores, whether touchdown or field goal. You go to the last 5 games, they're 21st, and they've dropped by over 25%. They're at about 31% because they either get touchdowns or they get nothing. They've only attempted 6 field goals in the last 5 games combined. They've only made 3 of them. And so the whole episode is basically like, okay, if we know the issue is that they're only getting 7s, but they're not getting any 3s, to complement that. Why are they stalling out? And there's a lot to it, but honestly, the main thing is play selection. Like, they stopped running the ball in the middle area of the field. And so they're constantly ending up in like fourth and seven rather than fourth and three. So the kind of go for it versus don't go for it conversation starts skewing towards punting rather than going for it and getting points. And I think if you just look at the 50 to the opposing 30-yard line, if they ran the ball a little bit more, they would be totally fine, and they probably would have won all five of those games. Instead, they lost three out of five, and they're embarrassed.
Patrick, I love that breakdown. We saw it evident on Sunday night, Brett, against the Bengals. This team refused to run the football, and you saw them get into tough spots. Let's go a little bit to the other end of the extreme here in a team that will make you potentially hate football, the inconsistent Pittsburgh Steelers, who are sitting at 5-3. Brett, kind of take us through their offense and what deficiencies you're seeing with them.
Oh, man. where do I even begin? A lot of it is they don't push the ball down the field on first down. They're kind of like the bizarro Bills where, you know, the Bills will just, they'll go down the field for any reason you give them, right? The Steelers don't do that. They do not push the ball more than 10 yards down the field on early downs. They basically treat their early down pass game like just a run with extra steps, right? So they'll get these 4 and 5 yard gains, or they'll get nothing, and they'll set up second and long, and then they have a super high run rate on second and long, which most great offenses don't do that because you're hoping for, like, 4 yards, right? So you're basically playing to get a third and three rather than maybe a first and 10. And so they constantly end up in third down, which they're not very good at regardless. And so then they, in terms of their drive success rate, they're at the very bottom of the league because they don't even try to get explosive plays, and the best offenses get explosive plays without throwing the ball down the field, without calling runs at the right time. It's just going to keep being like this, and you never really see the Steelers offense explode until the fourth quarter when Kenny Pickett just said, screw it, I'm just going to start throwing fades to George Pickens. But that's the only time they ever go down the field. It's just three quarters and nothing before then, and quite frankly, I'm not sure there's a way to fix this because the Steelers want to call their offense that way.
Yet they're 5-3. Tomlin is a wizard. And you had a video recently, Brett Coleman joining us, the film room here on Sharp Money. You said, look, CJ Stroud is not normal. Offensive rookie of the year right now, DraftKings minus 500. He's going to win that award. It's been just a treat to watch this kid play.
Oh, and they've completely taken the training wheels off over the last week. You know, going into last week, they were the highest rate in terms of run pass. And I know, you know, most football fans, they look at their offense and they hate when they go run pass, right? Well, the Texans did that more than anybody else, even more than the Steelers. They were just better at it because CJ Stroud's a lot better than Kenny Pickett. But when you go into the Bucs game, that was the first time all year where they were not heavily doing that kind of run pass cadence. It was pass, more pass, keep passing. It was like 57 passes and 13 runs. Like they honestly looked like the Bills. And it was the first time they let CJ Stroud operate the offense as if he was Josh Allen. And not gonna lie, he did it better than Josh Allen has done it in any of their games this year. You know, 470 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks. He's accurate. He's efficient. And I think the Texans have finally realized that they don't need to protect him by just constantly running the ball into a brick wall. They can just let him be him and throw. And I think that's going to set up a wonderful game against the Bengals this week where, you know, you're getting literally two of the five best quarterbacks in the AFC so far this year going toe-to-toe.
That should be a fun one to watch. I love this one you have on. It says, how to legally cheat on every play. Give us a perspective on what options people have that may not be taking advantage of.
Oh, man, that one was all about the Juwan Taylor debacle early on in the year. It seems like it's been a long time since then. But, you know, basically how, you know, Juwan Taylor's not the only one who does it. Pretty much every single offensive line pushes the rules to get away with things. But how he kind of uses a loophole in false start rules to get away with quote unquote early jumps. And it was explaining how the referees kind of interpret the false start rule and why they don't call him on false starts. while also kind of shining a light on what he does that actually is illegal, which is lining up too far behind the line of scrimmage. And I was kind of pointing out, you know, how much he did that in that first game against Detroit, and how, you know, he got away with like 20 something penalties technically. And then of course the next week after Detroit complained about it, Juwan Taylor started getting called for that every single week. So yeah, I guess I kind of cursed him a little bit, but it was more kind of diving into the nitty gritty of offensive line rules and how guys, you know, Lane Johnson included, he does the same thing, how they kind of push the boundaries as much as possible to get away with stuff.
You can check the vid, the film room on YouTube. Make sure you check it out. It's great. Brett Coleman. Okay, let's get a play for tonight. Chicago's laying 3.5 and a total of 38.5. So a low total, no surprise in primetime on a short week. What do you got tonight with Carolina and Chicago here, Brett?
I'm really curious to see if, for the first time all year, Carolina can actually protect Bryce Young. If there was ever a pass rush they could do that against, it's Chicago. But their offensive line has just been a complete mess. You know, Ike Ekwonu has taken a lot of steps from a very good rookie year that he had, honestly. Like, he looked really, really good. And, you know, physically, he's a monster. But his technique's a mess. You know, he was getting run over by speed-to-power moves from Jonathan Grenard like 4 times in one game. His balance is off. His landmarks are off. His hands are off. Like, everything's just off. And so he's been statistically one of the worst left tackles in the league, despite having a very strong rookie year. And so I kind of want to see if he bounces back tonight. Again, if there was an edge group that he could ever do that against, it's probably Chicago. But also, you know, the rest of the Panthers' offensive line, like, can they keep Bryce Young upright for more than 2.5 seconds? And if so, you know, how does Bryce then respond when he actually has time to throw? He doesn't have a whole lot of speed at receiver. He's kind of working with an elderly Adam Thielen as his number one at this point. But if you can keep him protected, can Bryce Young look like the Bryce Young that we saw in college? And I have a soft spot for him. You know, I've seen him live, even going back to when he was in high school. I saw him live, you know, at Texas in that Bama-Texas game where, you know, he came back in the last minute. Like, I know it's in there somewhere. If there was ever a game for him to get right, it's this one. And so that's kind of the main thing I'm paying attention to.
Yeah, the Bears, terrible pass D, lowest pressure rate in the NFL. You're right. Tonight is an opportunity for Bryce to get right against this Bears team. Brett Coleman, NFL film analyst, The Film Room on YouTube. You can also check out the podcast, the Bootleg Football Podcast, at Brett Coleman on Twitter as well. Thanks, Brett. Enjoy the football. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. There goes Brett Coleman. When we come back, we're going straight back into the Dog Pound.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. It is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Of course, it is a Thursday. That means it's time for the Golden Bachelor and some co-ed softball, a.k.a. J.A., Josh Applebaum, Morning Bets, Market Insights. That's our guy. Also, you can check out not just the podcast over at VSIN.com. You can check on the DraftKings Network every Saturday and Sunday. Josh Applebaum in studio there in New England. We say, what's cracking to our buddy, Josh Applebaum. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Patrick, doing great. Amal, Dustin, great to see you guys. And yeah, Patrick, usually it's a big Thursday night. Got some bad news. It's pouring rain in Boston. Our first playoff game, Co-Ed Softball Beer League, it was canceled tonight. So it's going to be me sweating Thursday night football. I got sweats all over the place. And at least this gives us some time. You know what, Patrick? You know how I know Elise is the one for me? She said, can we find some batting cages in practice for the playoffs? I mean, if that's not a keeper, I don't know what is.
Wow. Wow. Thursdays, we usually wear pink. Tonight, Thursdays, we break out the umbrella for co-ed softball. Oh, yeah. But that's a tremendous job by wifey wanting to get in the cage on a Thursday to battle the rain. Good job by both of you. All right, Josh, you're going to have a good time tonight because you got the Golden Bachelor and you have a very exciting Thursday night game. Carolina at Chicago. Who cares about the matchup when we can bet it? Got 3.5 at DraftKings with Chicago laying it and 38.5 on the total.
Yeah, Patrick, isn't this a perfect example of why legalized sports betting is so popular? Even if you look at this game, two terrible teams. No one wants anything to do with it. But if you got action, you're excited about this game tonight. So I'm very pumped for this one. Now let's look at kind of the spread, the total, and then I actually do have a player prop for you here as well, Patrick. But in terms of the side, you know, we opened this game as low as Chicago, -1.5. Pretty consistent steam in favor of the Bears all week long. They got all the way up at one point to -4. And there was a thought throughout the week that Justin Fields would play, come back from his injury here. Now that's not the case anymore. He's been ruled out, so it's going to be Tyson Bagent once again. Has seen a little bit of a buyback here, a little dip back toward the Carolina Panthers, 4 down to 3.5. Although this morning you got all the way down to 3, so it's back up to 3.5. And if you look at some of these juice prices, it's kind of this back and forth. Like, I think there are some, you know, very brave contrarian bettors looking toward the Panthers tonight at +3.5. But here's where I think it gets a little bit difficult. The public play is Chicago. They're getting 62% of bets. But it's been such a weird year, Patrick. You know, dogs consistently have been a pretty smart bet in the NFL because the public loves betting favorites. So therefore, going contrarian, taking the points has been a smart bet going on over a decade at this point. But this is one of the best favorite years we've seen in a while. Actually, favorites are covering at their highest number since 2017. Favorites this year are 70-61 against the spread, 53%. Thursday night home favorites are 55% ATS over the last two decades. So if you tell me you like, you know, Carolina with the hook, I'm not going to argue with you. They're contrarian. It's a bit of an inflated line, but I don't want to go up against kind of this weird favorite trend and short week favorite trend. So what I'm going to do is look toward the under here, Patrick. It's death taxes and primetime unders. We've seen this total fall. It opened as high as 41.5. You're now down to 38. Now this morning it was 38.5. That's when I grabbed under 38.5 with a hook. It's now down to 38. So even game day movement is moving further toward the under. Now the under is getting around 60% of bets, nearly 70% of the money. Also, you look at unders this year. It's been weird, Patrick, for contrarian bettors. The dogs aren't coming through, but the unders are certainly coming through. Unders are 61% this year. If you had bet $100 on every under in the NFL this year, you're up almost $2,700. That's how great that they've been. When the total falls at least a half point, the under is 64% this year. Primetime unders are 20-7, 74%. Low total unders. When the total is less than 40, the under is 14-9, 61%. These two teams both rank in the bottom third of the NFL in scoring. And it kind of reminds me of last Thursday night's game, Steelers and Titans. Remember, Patrick, that was a total, I want to say, I think it closed at 37. It ended up landing on 36. So even though it fell, that primetime under cash. So I'll go under 38.5. It's now around 38. And I am going to play a player prop tonight, Patrick. Bryce Young, over 213.5 passing yards. Got that number this morning. It has ticked up a little bit. It's around 216, 217 now. But he's 3-1 over this number his last four games. You also look at the Bears. They're 28th in pass defense. They're giving up nearly 260 a game. If the Bears are up, maybe there's garbage, you know, time throwing the ball, accumulating some yards here, fourth quarter. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going under, and I'll go over passing yards for Bryce Young.
Yeah, I like the play here. Not only that, you mentioned it, the Thursday night unders have been successful, and over the course of the season, Josh, thought some really good points there. Let's go across the pond in Frankfurt on Sunday, Deutsche Bank Stadium, between the Indianapolis Colts, who are laying a point and a half on the road here against your New England Patriots. Tell us where you come out on this one, but more importantly, big picture, tell us what's going on. Is Bill Belichick going to be allowed to steal another $20 million next year?
Well, we're all wondering what his contract is, Amal, and he holds that pretty close to the vest. If you saw, notice this was kind of interesting. No one ever talks about what his actual contract is, but Jeff Passan, when Craig Counsell just signed with to be manager of the Cubs, somehow Passan put in there that Belichick makes $20 million a year. Now, he was making $25 million a year, it was speculated, so maybe since Brady left, he's took a little bit of a haircut here. I want to give Patrick Maher a ton of credit. He has the Patriots as a short dog. All the power to you, my man. I'm going Colts in this one. I'm just going to bet against the Pats until they prove me otherwise. We have seen this line go to the Colts. A lot of these books opened. Look at was actually Patriots, maybe a short favorite, minus, you know, 1, 1.5. I think the look at earlier in the year was like -4. Now we flipped all the way to Colts -2. Colts were -1 yesterday. So as we get closer to the game in Germany here, further movement in favor of the Colts. Now, I'm going to bank on the Colts for their dog to fave line movement, also their offense. You know, Minshew's not the greatest quarterback in the world, but they're averaging 26 points a game. Mac Jones is averaging 15 points a game. Tons of injuries. Kendrick Bourne is now out. And the angle here to me also, Amal, is international favorites. When you go away outside of America and you play an NFL game, international favorites are 32-10 straight up, 76%. You even saw it last week. The Chiefs actually had a line move against them. That line fell toward Miami. Chiefs closed as a short favorite. They end up covering that number. You also get their win totals. Pats are 5.5 under -150. Colts are over 7.5 over -150. So to me, it's not only that the Patriots have no talent, whiffed on all these draft picks, No offensive line, no weapons, but you're also starting to see that the locker room really disintegrate right now. JC Jackson and Jack Jones are in trouble. Jackson didn't even make the trip out to Germany. These guys are missing curfew, and they're kind of, you know, maybe just not believing in Belichick anymore, and I don't really give them reason to believe in him. So I think it's just bad news all around for New England. If they go across the pond and win a game, I'll tip my cap, but I got to take the Colts on the money line here.
Is there, like, a legit chance he's not coaching this Patriot team next year?
So that's the topic of conversation, Patrick. I don't think Robert Kraft has the stones to fire him in season. To me, just in terms of how bad it can be, like, they can end up, you know, 3-14. But with all the success that he's given you, with all the great years of success, I don't think they have the kind of humiliation of firing him in season. But I think the angle is with Kraft, can you trade Belichick? You know, there are rumors that could he be interested in the Washington Commanders? Remember, his dad coached at Navy. That's Annapolis, kind of the part of the country that he was raised in. Do the Commanders, who have a lot of money, you know, want some credibility and hire a coach with a big name behind it? So that could be worth a look. But again, I think you got to get rid of Belichick and all of his people. Like, even though Jerod Mayo, people are thinking he's the next guy in line, I want to get rid of anyone who's attached to Belichick. Start over. Patrick, I want like a skinny, like, tight, you know, grease back hair, young, offensive-minded coach. That's who I want.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe when you're watching The Bachelor, you can find one of those. Hey, you've got tonight college hoops. You've got the Peyton Manning special. Omaha and TCU. TCU's laying 26.5 here. Josh, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm not going to lay the big points here, Patrick, but I am going to look toward the total here. So this is kind of a little crash course in using KenPom and the sports betting market together. So I'm going to take the over here, over 151. Now, what I like about the over is that this isn't the most popular game of the night. You know, no one woke up on Thursday and said, I got to bet TCU Omaha. So it's kind of a lower bet game. Obviously, TCU is a big name school, but Omaha is not. So it's a low bet game, yet this total has risen. It opened around 150. You're up to 151. Why is that important? Because the market's moving up in a low bet game. But if you look at KenPom and you look at his projections on his fan match page, he has a final score of 154 in this game. So this is kind of piecing together an overplay for me. The market is rising. KenPom is projecting this number to go over. Then if you look at our VSiN.com bet splits, 49% of bets, but 67% of the money is on the over. So basically public split. We have sharper wagers here going over. And I know it's early in the year, but also looking at pace, you know, TCU ranks in about the top 30 in terms of pace. Omaha's right up there. Adjusted offense, both of these teams are over 100 in adjusted offense. And I can't even tell you the schools they played in game one. I don't want to overreact to that. But TCU put up 108. You had Omaha put up 85. To me, this is a game where you're matching both the analytics of KenPom with the betting market moving up. I'm going Omaha TCU over 151.
Patrick, one of the things I like about this play is you've got a huge spread, 26.5, 27 points with a 150.5 total. But to me, when games have a huge margin, I expect TCU to be up plus 20. It turns into open gym in the second half. I like this play by Josh. You're going to wind up with probably a second half total of about almost 85 points in here. Good opportunity to be able to get over on this one.
Yeah, that's a big-ass straddle there, Josh. Well, listen, sorry to hear about softball this evening. I know it's a tough time for you after a couple of decades of just absolute glory with the Patriots. We hate to see, you know, we hate to see it. The rest of the country hates to see what you're dealing with right now. If you had your pick, would it be the rumored Mike Vrabel coming to the Patriots?
So I don't hate that entirely because I do like the way Vrabel coaches his teams. I mean, again, the Titans don't have the ton of star power and talent here. You know, they've gotten a lot out of Tannehill, Derrick Henry, obviously. I like that Vrabel is kind of a tough coach. You know, he's actually outsmarted the Patriots a few times here. The last game Brady played in terms of working around the clock. But I'll be honest, even though Vrabel's not a Belichick guy, like he's not in his coaching tree, you still have the Patriots connection here. Again, I think Kraft he's hanging on to Belichick too long. He got rid of Brady too early. So I think it's all about Kraft, what he decides to do. And again, the national media is like, how can you possibly even talk? Belichick got asked in a press conference, are you coaching for your job this week? And the whole national media is like, how dare anyone ask him that? Have you been paying attention to what happened since Brady left? It's been getting worse every single year. Belichick's tricks are not working anymore. So I'm ready to start anew, Patrick. Give me a new head coach.
Josh on fire today. Stay dry, my friend. Josh Applebaum, VSiN.com for the podcast, of course, Morning Bets. market insights in the afternoon. We'll talk to you next week, Josh, coming back. Thanks, back man. Into the dog pound.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, make sure you check out the betting splits, money and bets for every game over at VSIN.com. Updated every 5 minutes, straight from DraftKings. Today's games and, of course, future events as well. It's by far the most popular tool over at DraftKings, over at VSIN.com. But again, those odds come straight from DraftKings. It's VSIN.com for your betting splits. We got you back, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Our buddy Brandon Anderson from the Action Network joins us now. Of course, we had a great time with Brandon during the NBA postseason last year. Does an awesome job at Wheaton Brandon on Twitter. And we should point out that it's not a Commander Carson Wentz jersey he's wearing, but Brandon, maybe a little backstory as to why you're repping the Carson Wentz Eagles jersey for the audience here.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to rep Carson Wentz. His agent couldn't even get him a job when we got like half the world playing quarterback in the NFL. We finally got him a backup role, replacing Brett Rippon. Yeah, I grew up in North Dakota all before coming out to Chicago area for college and since then. So big North Dakota State Bison fan, winner of many of their most recent championships, though it's not happening this year. So don't put your money on that. South Dakota State is probably where it's at. But got to rep Carson Wentz. We got Trey Lance. He's on the move. We got Christian Watson sometimes plays. Like, it was exciting getting our Bison and high draft picks out here, and it's not been going great. I probably should stop buying their jerseys until we get a home for them. But, you know, he's got a chance. Let's give him a shot.
I love it. We're going to run the board now. Over at Action, you have a lean for every game on the NFL board, so we will get to that. But just a little chatter prior. We were discussing the quarterback, obviously, Thursday night, which we'll get to in just a bit. I want to get your take just on C.J. Stroud. Amal is a Buckeye. We're watching right now, and we talked to Brett Coleman earlier, who said they're starting to actually trust the young signal caller in Houston, where they're opening the playbook a little bit. What have you taken away from the rookie's run so far, C.J. Stroud?
You know, I was just rewatching that game against the Buccaneers. Man, he looks incredible right now. We're obviously at the midpoint of the season. I just did kind of a midpoint refresh of my rankings by position, by team. I don't know that there's more than about 10 quarterbacks you'd rather have than C.J. Stroud right now, the rest of the season as a rookie. And, like, not factoring in the rookie contract and all that kind of stuff, like, he moves up even further in that case. But, I was big on Texans coming into the season. They were my worst to first division winner pick. And I got to be honest, I thought they're going to run the ball pretty well with Damian Pierce. That's not happening. I thought the defense would be pretty good. I thought C.J. Stroud would be fine. I thought he would like not mess it up too much. I did not expect him to start throwing like 500 yards and these late drives down the field. He looks incredible. He is commanding the pocket. He's dropping the ball in. He's turning like Nico Collins and Tank Dell into names that most of us didn't even know much about before the year, and now they're like weekly fantasy starts. He's looked the real deal. I think the Texans are here to stay. I still think they got a good chance in the division, even though they're a bit back on Jacksonville right now. I'm loving it, and I think Stroud is, yeah, he looks awesome. I was thinking earlier, like, what do you think his ceiling is? Like, clearly he's going to be a good quarterback, but is he going to reach that the Joe Burrow, you know, Josh Allen MVP stratosphere? I don't know if I quite get there on that, but I don't know why not.
Brandon, you're one of my favorite guests, but I vehemently object to your notion that he can't get to that level. I'll tell you one thing. He's already not Josh Allen. He's not throwing five picks in a row, Patrick. I love Stroud. I think
incredible.
I got to tell you guys, that throw he had to Tank Dell on the left side before the touchdown is actually the most impressive throw I've seen in his career so far. That ball placement set them up with a 15-yard line. Even if they don't complete the next one, Brandon, for a touchdown, he would have had a second opportunity with just a few seconds remaining. But just really the polish and the poise have been really the key for him.
Yeah, he had a couple of throws rewatching. The touchdown down the right sideline earlier, I think to Tank Dell as well. He's like Geno Smith. And I know like comparing someone to Geno Smith doesn't feel like high praise. Geno drops that ball into a bucket. Like when he gets like the deep ball down the sideline, Oh, chef's kiss. That is just is perfect watching that. And I think we're seeing that from Stroud already. So, yeah, I can't argue with you. Like, why can't he be the Joe Burrow? Why can't he be that? In that division, this would be a fun division, right? We got three rookie quarterbacks now once Richardson is healthy again next year. And then Trevor Lawrence. Like, we're going to have a fun division of quarterbacks for a long time there.
I have a question for the two of you, a little debate here. Now, I said early in the year, and I've got to be fair, I've said early in the year Sam Howell was the truth. And then I came in and I said to the boys, I might be completely wrong about Sam Howell. Now I'm back on the Sam Howell train. Amal, you do realize he's attempted more passes this year than any, like, yeah. Bieniemy, all he's doing is throwing the football. Just the playbook is completely wide open. I'll start with you, Amal. His numbers are actually quite impressive, but the eyeball test as well, when you're watching Howell, the arm talent is very, very impressive. Where are you on the young signal caller there with the Commanders?
Look, I think if they can get an offensive line, they've got a team. I love Brian Robinson at tailback. I like what Sam Howell does. He's got some moxie. He's got toughness. Patrick, you and I are both high on Jahan Dotson. We all know what Terry McLaurin can do. Curtis Samuel as your number three is an outstanding number three receiver. I think this team is trending in the right direction. And I think one other thing I would add, and Brandon, you can comment on this as well. I think the onus we put on the quarterback shouldn't be as great as it is right now. When you look around at teams, so much of it is play calling. We saw it with the Raiders, the ineptitude. All of a sudden, the first half, they score more points in the first half than they had under Josh McDaniels all season long. And then offensive line, receivers on the perimeter. There are so many factors, I think, go into having success, whether it be a quarterback or a wide receiver. But in answer to your question, Patrick, he is a keeper in Washington. Now bring in the right coach and bring in some old linemen.
Yep. Brandon? Sam Howell.
I'm sorry. I got to disagree on this one. I think Sam Howell is Carson Wentz with a better agent. I don't love what's happening out there. That dude is a walking sack machine. Like, he even with only 3-1 sack the last couple of weeks, he's still at 44 on the season. He's on pace to, I think, either break or come close to David Carr, not Derek Carr, David Carr's all-time record if he stays healthy. And I think he has to own that. I think sacks are quarterback stat, you know. Better line would help, but this is a thing. This is why I'm calling him Carson Wentz with a better agent. My guy Carson just holds the ball too long. He's trying to do too much, and that is a quarterback decision. You can either throw the ball away, you can tuck it and run, you can put it up for grabs, get intercepted. You got to make a decision. Howell has an interception all but three games so far this season, so he's not taking care of the ball, and he's getting sacked over and over and over again. And, you know, EPA, I'm hearing a lot about EPA this year. That's like the new popular stat everywhere. A sack is worth 1/3 as much negative as an interception. I think we sometimes over-index how bad an interception is and underrate how bad a sack is. A sack is kind of a turnover. Like, if you're on second down and 10, you get sacked, and now it's 3rd and 21, you're punting. Like, you are giving the ball back to the opponent in most scenarios there. So I think that's a Sam Howell problem. It has not gone away. The arm talent is there, no doubt. Like, he can make some huge throws better than I expected. The sack thing, that's Sam's problem. Unless he can solve that with or without the line, I don't know if that's a long-term solution for me.
Yeah, and holding on to the football chases him back to North Carolina as well. So you're right. That has been an issue. It's not just the offensive front. So we shall see if that inner clock corrects itself with Sam Howell. Okay. Brandon, let's do this. Let's start running the board, and we're going to start, obviously, tonight with Carolina and Chicago. The hook is odd to me. It's 3.5 and 38.5 with Chicago laying it tonight. Where are you at on this one?
Yeah, so I do every game. I do every team. I got to pick for both ways. So I don't want either side on this game. I agree. The hook is a little strange. I think if you're Carolina, you just want to bet the under here. It's ugly. It's gross, but Thursday night unders at 40 or below for the total since 2010, 18-4 to the under, 82%. And I think if you're Chicago, you're a Bears fan, it's been on DJ Moore, right? It's the DJ Moore revenge game. We know he wants to have a big game against his old team. We know he's going to get chances. They're going to let him, like, they want to look good too, right? They want to show that they won the trade and they got DJ Moore. Look how good we are. So I think you take a DJ Moore receiving yards over. I think it was at 51.5 the last I saw.
Okay, 241. In Germany, let's make sure that's clear. Indy at New England in Germany. It's 1.5 right now with the Colts laying it and 43 on the total.
Yeah, I like the Colts on that one. If I had to pick a side, I'm not going to go too crazy on it, but international favorites, you take out the Jaguars, right? Because they play all a ton of international games. Outside of Jacksonville games, international favorites are 23-9 ATS. So 72% hit rate. When they're favored by three or less, 80% against the spread. So I think you just take the better team on a neutral field. And the Colts right now are the better team. They're top 12 DVOA in offense and in defense. The Patriots stink, right? Like, we continue to give Bill Belichick credit. I don't know if he's even coaching anymore. I don't know what's happening out there. We got the video today of him, like, you're looking confused, walking out of the house. Like, is he going to make the flight to Germany? I don't know what's happening. Patriots, you want to bet the Patriots. Demario Douglas, I think, you know, you get four or five receptions. Take a receptions prop, but I think it's Colts or pass for me.
Did you see that video, Amal?
I did not.
Okay, but you're going to, as a staunch Belichick hater, go ahead and just go to Twitter and put Bill Belichick's name in, and you're going to freaking die during the break. I promise you that.
By the way, Brandon, we've got the Patriots for $2.2 million this weekend.
Yes, we do. Oh, part of a parlay. We're going to come back and run the board with Brandon Anderson next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, hour three on a football Thursday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson at the D, downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street. We're going to bring in our buddy Brennan White, DraftKings U.S. trading team lead. Of course, does a great job at Brennan White 14 on Twitter. And as we say hi to our buddy Brennan, we start here. It's an ugly one, but it's bettable, and that is Thursday night football, of course, Carolina at Chicago. You got a low total. I see 3.5 with the Bears laying it. What are you going to need here? Where'd you open this game side and total, Brennan?
Yeah, hey, guys. Great to be back. We opened this game at around 41 on the total, and we had the Bears as, I believe, 2-point favorites. That has obviously changed quite a bit in the last few days, with the Bears now -3.5 and the total all the way down to 38. I think teams, they've had rough seasons, and if there's a game that both teams want to win, it's this one. The Panthers obviously don't want to end up having the worst record in the league, knowing that they're going to give that pick over to the Bears. And on the opposite side, the Bears are looking at a situation where they can not only win a game, but improve their chances of getting the number one pick here. So I think as far as bad games go, both teams will be motivated. As far as the betting action we've seen, it's all over the Bears and the under. I think people have watched these teams maybe not very much this season, given how bad they are, but have looked at the scores, and neither offense has really been able to put up points. And I think, you know, the Bears at least have hope for the rest of the season. Maybe Fields comes back and is improved. But the Panthers are kind of what they are at this point. So I think given the low total, there might be some value on Panthers at +3.5, you know, now that we've gone past that key number. So we'll see if we get some sharp buyback closer to kickoff. But overall, this isn't going to be one of our bigger decisions of the week.
Brennan, you mentioned it that the Bears could wind up with the first overall pick thanks to Carolina. So they won't have to make the decision whether to go with Caleb Williams or Bryce Young next year. But when you look at the market, Caleb's still a big favorite at -360. Who's a potential contender to go number one in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we really do expect Caleb Williams to go first, kind of regardless of what his performance looks like the rest of the college season, unless he suffers some major injury. In that case, you might see Drake May from Carolina pick up some steam. I think he is the other quarterback who is even close to the same level as far as potential goes that Caleb Williams has. Marvin Harrison Jr. is our most likely non-quarterback, but with quarterbacks being so valuable, especially on their rookie deals, I think you'll definitely see whoever does pick first take quarterback there.
Brennan White, our buddy, of course, straight from the DraftKings trading floor, U.S. team lead, joins us here on Sharp Money. Best game of the week. Now, you've got it San Francisco at Jacksonville. I'm showing 3 right now. Are you still sitting 3 at DraftKings with San Francisco laying it on the road at Jacksonville?
That's right. We are sitting 3, and it's an interesting spot. We opened this game 2.5, although we thought that we might actually see money on Jacksonville at the 2.5, being home dogs with kind of how San Francisco's lost 4 in a row. It hasn't looked very good, and it's actually the opposite. We've seen that game move up to 3. As far as kind of the market goes, there are 2.5 still out there, but we've seen pretty lopsided action. I think that we'll stay at 3 until Sunday, and we might even touch 3.5 at some point. I think people just see these teams as being in different classes, and I'm not sure that that's how it should be. You know, Jacksonville obviously is a younger team in developing. The one factor here that we have to keep in mind is the weather. And there does look like there's going to be some wind that day, and we're looking at 25 to 30 mile an hour gusts, which we think favors the Niners just because of how those offenses, kind of their systems and their styles. I think the Niners will do much better if running the ball becomes more valuable in that game. So I think we'll probably end up closing around 3, but it's been an interesting line move throughout the week.
Brennan, in the NFC, you've got a glut of teams sitting there between 5-3 and 3-5. There's some bad teams out there. What do you see kind of playing out here in the NFC, and who could get in the playoffs? Seattle right now, the number one wild card at 5-3. I don't know how you evaluate them. Vikings right now, if the season ended, would be in the postseason at 5-4.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. There's a lot of bad teams in the NFC and the AFC, but you know the NFC is a lot weaker in the middle section. So we're going to see bad teams in the playoffs. And with the expanded playoff format, that's just a reality. But that means that unless you're a fan of, you know, the Cardinals, Panthers, Bears, or Giants, you're probably still live. And I think that as the season goes, health will be a major factor for a lot of these teams who, you know, probably don't have Super Bowl aspirations but would like to get into a playoff game. We think the Seahawks are probably the best of the teams that are not favored to win their division. Beyond that, man, it's rough. You know, the Vikings without Kirk Cousins or Justin Jefferson at the moment, all the teams in the NFC South are not very good. You know, we've got the Rams who have kind of looked okay against some teams, but lose a lot of games to bad teams as well. The Commanders are sneaky in there too, right? But they've got a really difficult division with the Cowboys and Eagles. So I'm not sure who it's going to be, but at least one of these teams is going to make it to the playoffs and probably be a very big road underdog in the wild card round.
Brennan White, talking points aplenty in Happy Valley. You've got the Michigan drama. I see you're showing 5. Some shops down to 4.5. Michigan, you've got DraftKings showing 5. Let's get into, as you mentioned in your notes, there's a lot of talking points with this Michigan-Penn State game.
Yeah, this is obviously the game of the week. We opened at 6. We're down to 5. Although we've seen a lot of public action on Michigan, they're just a very popular team week to week. But I do think if the Big Ten comes out with some discipline against Harbaugh or the program before that game, you'll see that line drop even further. Maybe not so much because it will impact the team for that game, but more of like the emotional angle of kind of being wrapped up in all this drama. It's an interesting situation because obviously we think the winner of the Big Ten is going to come out of this division with whether it be Michigan or Ohio State. But Michigan has a lot of obstacles at the moment. Obviously, they're going to have to win on the road at Penn State. They're going to have to beat Ohio State. And then come, you know, the Big Ten championship, they're probably going to have to play a team that they should beat. But if it's Iowa, you never know with their defense.
Brennan, just a quick follow-up on this. If on the off chance there's a suspension levied against Jim Harbaugh between today and tomorrow, how would it, A, impact the line? And from just from your perspective, how it could impact Michigan on the field on Saturday in State College?
Yeah, I think that it'll actually have a fairly big impact. I mean, people kind of underestimate the week-to-week you know, rituals that these teams have as far as kind of who's managing what. And I think not having Harbaugh there is going to play a big role in that game. I think you'll see the bets reflect that. I imagine if something comes out where he is suspended, whether it's for this game or not, we will see lots of action on Penn State and just, you know, managing our liabilities have to move. I think the bigger question, though, is for futures, right? Because Michigan obviously is one of the playoff contenders. They're one of the favorites to win the national championship. I don't expect the NCAA to come out with something where they're ineligible for the postseason, but even if it's just the Big Ten suspending Harbaugh, I think you'll see their odds probably increase somewhat dramatically as people start taking Ohio State, both kind of more likely to win the Big Ten in that matchup, and then also, you know, be a better team once they're in the playoffs.
So you've got Brennan White joining us, U.S. team lead there, straight from the trading floor, DraftKings Sportsbook. You've got Washington, of course, hosting Utah. You've got Georgia hosting Ole Miss. You're telling me right there at DraftKings right now, you've got the dogs being bet here, both road teams?
Yeah, this was surprising to me. Looking at our liabilities this morning, those are two of our biggest liabilities of the week, those teams to be upset. And it's not something we commonly see because normally, you know, the really popular programs, the big favorites tend to be popular picks for the public bettors. But I think this might be a situation where people want these teams to lose. They want some shakeup in kind of the premier programs. They want the teams that are undefeated to lose, maybe so, you know, their one loss team has a chance to make the playoffs or win the conference. And I think this might be a situation where there's some success fatigue, where you see Georgia win somewhat ugly games every week and you think that they're vulnerable and that, you know, they just need to be tested by a solid team. And I think we have that situation this week. So as, you know, bookmakers, we'll be rooting for kind of the favorites to win and cover, which is a very unique spot for us. But if one of those teams does go down, there could be a pretty big shakeup.
Brendan, I want to go to the ice quickly. San Jose gets a win against Philadelphia the other night. Now they're Edmonton's a minus 365 favorite on the road tonight. Jay Woodcroft could be on his way out. This Oilers team is really struggling. Have you guys just been getting bombarded with bets against the Sharks every night?
Yes, and it's kind of crazy at this point. I mean, the Sharks are the worst power-rated team we've ever had in the NHL. They did avoid the historic worst start ever, but their goal differential is, you know, sitting in the low minus 40s. They're a team that could give up 10 goals against any team on any night. We can't set the line low enough for the favorites playing these teams. Obviously, the Oilers being the second worst record, they're obviously not the second worst team, but minus 360 road favorites is unheard of, and yet still people are laying it. People are taking the puck line. People are taking the alternate puck lines. I mean, every Sharks game, we've got liability on the minus 4.5, minus 5.5 alternate puck lines. So it's kind of crazy at this point, but they are legitimately that bad.
350 road favorite with the Oilers. That is insane. 360. And how are your Columbus Blue Jackets doing, Brennan?
they're middling to bad as they typically are.
you'll be all right. You'll be all right.
Yeah, you know, eventually, you know, once a decade, we get our shot, you know, to lose in the first round of the playoffs. So just looking forward to when that comes back around.
I feel like I remember Blue Jackets series every year for a few years against the Washington Capitals in the first round of the postseason. For some reason, that jumps out at me. Anywho, Brennan White, U.S. team lead over at DraftKings every Thursday, the top of the third hour. Great to talk to you, Brennan. Good luck this weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, there goes Brennan. When we return, the Sharks. I have a few questions. I want to ask you them all about the Sharks. That's a crazy number I'm looking at. Lay a goal and a half, minus 140 with the Oilers on the road tonight. And also, we'll get into three-point stance. You'll hear from Dan Campbell next.